The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
The congregation may be seated. There are several of us who are going to share some tributes and thoughts on Jay and Dorcas and Israel. And I know you have come with your own. After you hear from us, after we speak about their lives and say some prayers, we will open the service up for a time of Holy Communion, and everyone who is a baptized Christian is invited to partake, to come up to the communion rail, being guided by the ushers who will direct you. If you wish to just come up for a blessing, if you'll simply put your hands across your chest, you can do that, and we'll say a brief prayer over you. Now I'd like to bring up one of Dorcas's good friends, May, so that we can hear some of her thoughts. May, will you come up now?
Dorcas and I met at a church in Kampala during our college years, but we got close when we met in Houston over 10 years ago. We became sisters, and our hearts were knit together forever. Our last meal together was the day after Christmas, when the whole family came to our house for a potluck, and Isaac made us a fruit pie. If only I had treasured those moments even more. I spoke to both her and Isaac for the last time on Tuesday that tragic week. Dorcas was a wonderful human being. She loved life, she loved people, she loved her husband, and she loved her children. She was an extremely wise woman who listened intently when you spoke to her, and when she responded, you knew you were getting pearls of wisdom. She knew how to interact with everyone she met, regardless of status, race, religion, or personality. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, the Apostle Paul said, "To the weak I became weak in order to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that I may by every possible means save some." Dorcas became all things to all people for the sake of the gospel. Dorcas had a sense of humor. When she entered the room, she brightened it up. Whenever she talked, even about difficult or painful topics, she always described things in such a way that made all in the room laugh. Her smile was like none other. She had dreams and hopes. Whenever we talked about our careers that we had put on hold while we were raising our beloved children, she said, "It's just a matter of time. We will go back to school and do all the things we ever dreamed of." And we started on that school journey together. My sister and my friend was priceless. And though I will miss her greatly, I know that we shall meet again in a place where there will be no more death, no more sorrow, and no more pain. Every tear will be wiped away. In that glorious place, I truly hope my mansion will be next to hers. Thank you.
As May said, Dorcas just had that wonderful smile. And I kind of thought I might not see it again, and then I got to meet her brother, Apollo, who is with us. And Apollo is going to share something with us next.
My Lord Bishop, the clergy, relatives, friends, and all the mourners here. It is an extremely hard job for me. To talk about Israel, Dorcas, and Jane. They were my family, they were my friends, they were my role models. Now I'm going to talk about all of them. Israel's brother has asked that I talk about all of them. And I was wondering who to start with. Israel was the husband, Dorcas the wife. So I said, I'll talk about them in the order of who came into my life first. And so, selfishly, I'll start with Dorcas. Dorcas was my sister. She was the 9th born out of 14 children, and I'm number 14. My father is a retired Reverend in the Anglican Church of Uganda. Dorcas went to school in Uganda, in Baranyaji Girls, and in Barra University, where she graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in Development Studies. And she was doing a master's here in theology at the Fuller Seminary. Dorcas was full of life every minute of every day. She was filled with laughter and joy. Dorcas was full of faith. She was a deep believer in Christ, and she was very much loved by my clergy parents for that. Dorcas was very hardworking. She took great care and detail in whatever she would undertake. Dorcas was very generous. She would even hand out what was not hers. One time she came to Kampala and decided to pay tuition for one of our relatives. She did that for a while, then after some time, she called me and decided to take over. So I said, but Dorcas, just before I finished whatever I was going to tell her, she laughed so hard and said, help him, Apollo, help him. God will bless you. Every time she called, she would ask about all the relatives, including my own very personal friends, that I would feel a very inadequate friend to my own friends. When she stayed in my hometown in Barara, when Israel had just come here, she took great care of my very aged parents, that when she left, they have been very sickly since then. Dorcas was as sweet as they come. Israel came to our home for the very first time around 1993. Dorcas just told us in the home that we would receive a visitor at 10 a.m. the following day, and at exactly 10, a very neat, tall gentleman walked into our house. We didn't care about the visitor because my father being a priest, we got visitors at any time of day and night. But we realized that Dorcas paid a lot of attention to this visitor, and we realized it must have been a special visitor to her. Israel was very smart. He was putting on a very neat pair of safari boots, yet he had walked a kilometer from the main road to our home through a farmland. So my brothers and I kept wondering whether he had come flying or whether he had put on the shoes just behind our house. Very unfortunately, he never disclosed up until now. Later we got to understand that Israel was in a seminary preparing to become a priest. Israel and Dorcas wedded a year later in December 1994. Like most parents, my father always wished that one of us, his children, takes on his vocation and becomes a servant in the church. He did not succeed until Israel came to our family. Israel grew into a full big brother to us, fitting well into our big family, becoming very comfortable and conversant with our jokes and conversations, especially debating about church politics, which my father never allowed in our home. Israel, however, was a very serious person. Naturally, he worked so hard at his school, and I say at his school because most of the time I knew him, he was reading. He planned his life to the dot and looked forward to a happy family, to a happy life ahead. I think God had different plans. Jay came into the family many years after Emmanuel and was so loved by the parents and the older boys, we feared so much that he would be a spoiled child, but he wasn't. He was just an adorable little boy, full of joy and affection. The last time they were in Uganda, together with Isaac took great care of his small brother, carrying him on his shoulders all the time and asking his parents and everybody to buy him ice cream and toys. Isaac doted on Jay and seemed to love him so greatly. Israel and Dorcas loved each other dearly and adored their boys so much and took good care of them. With the joy, laughter, and love that Dorcas had, and the hard work and immense preparation that Israel put in whatever he did, together with their practical faith in God, theirs was a model family. We were so proud of them, and the future seemed so bright and full of hope. We take a lot of comfort in the power of their example and would not have wished for better siblings. On behalf of the families of Israel and Dorcas, I thank all of you so much who have stood with us and held us up in all kinds of ways in this very trying moment. I want to particularly thank Bishop Andy, Father John Onstotz of G.O. H. Lewis Funeral Directors, Father Reagan, Sabina and Jeff, who came down with Emmanuel, our Ugandan friends, their fellowship, all the wonderful people that we found here. It would have been so hard for us without you. Thank you so much. And we thank you for your continued prayers for all of us, especially Isaac and Emmanuel. For all the promises we read in the scripture and the love Dorcas and Israel had for God, I believe without doubt that God loved them much more than all of us combined. I'm so certain that Israel, Dorcas, and Jay are in a much better place. And truly, God takes special ones first. May their wonderful souls rest in eternal peace. God bless you all.
There's one name that's not in the program, and I talked to Emmanuel, and he said he wanted to speak. So Emmanuel's going to come up and say a few words. And as he comes up, I'm gonna pray for him. Father, thank you for bringing Emmanuel here with us today. Would you fill him with your spirit right now? Thank you for all that he means to each one of us here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It was Christmas Day of my 8th grade year, a day I'll never forget. It was a cloudy day, and the streets were empty. And Christmas Day was a day to celebrate the birth of Christ, to celebrate the relationships you had in your life, and to be with your family. However, in this instance, I found myself locked in my dad's office next to the Fonda Library at Rice University, typing high school essays that had been too lazy to finish. Fast forward 3 years, I was not surprised to find myself in the same situation on the same day, but only this time, they were college essays. My father's determination for excellence extended beyond academics. He strived to do the very best at any task. This was a rare competitive side that men did not know. Today, there are many things I could say about my father. I could choose to acknowledge his academic journey starting in Uganda and ending in the States. Or I could talk about his love for the gospel, the ministry. I could also talk about his never-ending faith and trust of God, but none of those would encompass what he loved most in the world, my sweet mother. However, his achievements are essential to the person I am today. From a very young age, I admired my father in a very strange, particular way. Unlike most boys who looked at their father in awe, I looked at him in amusement. For some reason, I thought everything he did was funny. And after a long period of time, it began to bother him how seriously I couldn't take him. The juxtaposition of seeing him at home where he was more relaxed and seeing him as a student teacher and in the church were a bit odd for me. To see my father at home playing, wrestling, and dancing with me, and then to see him so serious, talking about profound concepts, was very peculiar. As I grew older, my relationship with my father became more and more serious and more particular. He encouraged me to strive and excel in all aspects for life. Always interested in academics, in my academics, he was curious to keep up with what I was learning. He continuously stressed the importance of a strong academic foundation, teaching me the most significant things in the world are earned, not given. With relentless perseverance, he said, and unending faith and love, the world was mine. He was a father who cared and a father who loved. He strived to always be the best son, the best brother, the best student, the best teacher, the best pastor, the best friend, the best father. And to him, most importantly, he strived to be the best husband he could be. With all this being said about my dad, to me, he was the second most important person in the house. She, to this day, is the single greatest woman I've had the blessing of knowing in my life. From her contagious smile and laugh, to her compassionate heart, steadfast faith, and incredibly caring attitude towards everybody and anything, it is no surprise to me how my father fell madly in love with her about 25 years ago. She never failed to make me laugh. She was never quick to judge, and always searched for the best in everyone. At the same time, she was very strong-willed, very independent, and at times stubborn, maybe too stubborn. Before making the move to the States to join my father, my mom was the only constant in our life between my brother and I. She balanced raising us while at the same time earning a graduate master's degree in Uganda. Isaac and I have tremendous respect for our mother and what she sacrificed for us. Everything she did with the utmost passion, precision, and complete attention. From a young age, she taught my brother and I, my brother and me, essential values that helped define who we are today. She stressed the importance of first impression, politeness, and keeping an open mind. She believed that one should express themselves however they choose to, but she strongly disliked judgment. She taught us to minimize hypocrisy. She emphasized the gravity of sympathy and empathy to all. She always advocated for peace, and many times to my brother and I's frustration. She was a woman of incredible faith, always putting her trust entirely in God. She was relentless in prayer, always praying for our well-being, from our academics to our health to our sport games and even to our girl problems. She prayed for it all. My mom's love for kids was so evident. Her ability with kids was incredible. She understood them so well, and in turn, they brought her joy. Throughout the first months after she had Jay, she never seemed to mind waking up multiple times in the middle of the night to change diapers, get some milk. You know, I eventually thought she sincerely liked changing diapers. Just thinking about it, her precision and efficiency on the changing table was insane. Even the symmetry of her folded diaper was noteworthy. My father, who was very, very, very mediocre at changing diapers, burping the baby, and generally all aspects of baby life, but it came so easily to my mother. June 2nd, 2009, I believe, was the happiest day in my mom's life. I remember watching her and my dad holding Jay hours after the delivery. There was something new in their eyes, which for me was beautiful to see. My brother and I both took turns holding him, and I remember thinking of how odd the feeling was to hold someone who you already loved unconditionally, though you knew nothing about who they were, the person they were going to be. And thus began the journey of being an older brother. On one hand, I was used to being the youngest child, and perks around the house. Instantly, as we welcomed Jay into our family, the atmosphere in the house changed. He brought laughter, lightheartedness, and joy into the household. As my brother and I stepped into the adolescent age, which was dominated with puberty, the urge to rebel, and of course, middle school drama, we were never shy to watch Jay grow from a screaming infant at 3 o'clock in the morning to the pearl of our family, who we all adored. My transition to boarding school, away from Houston, and away from Jay, was harder than I like to admit. Because I did not see him every day, I began to miss him. I began to miss his smile, the glisten and excitement in his eyes as he played. I began to miss putting him to bed, watching his tantrums, and playing with him outside. I began missing hearing his unanswerable questions that never seemed to end. Questions that seemed to challenge the fundamental laws of our universe. Growing up, my parents taught us to be critical, curious, and questionable, and to think for ourselves. Likewise, Jay never seemed to be short of questions, no matter what time of day. From a young age, I could tell that Jay had inherited my dad's brilliance. He was a quick learner, and this was very evident when my brother Isaac began to teach him how to read. I was always amazed by the dramatic increases in his vocabulary and sentence structure every time I came back from break. The most recent example was during Christmas break, in which I was surprised to find he had picked up on sarcasm. Everyone who met adored him, rightly so, even if it caused my brother and I envy. His smile was unforgettable. His laugh was sure to take you out of a bad mood. And of all those 100 long and tedious hide-and-seek games we played, that never seemed to get old for him. I now find myself wishing for 100 more. Never did I think I would be standing where I am, saying what I am, so soon. In all honesty, I might say, I find myself terrified. Terrified of the uncertainty that the future holds. But every time I find myself afraid, I remind myself of the certain. The certainty, the type of people my parents were, the certainty of how much they loved my brother and me. Their steadfast love of the Lord and never-ending faith comforts me. Today and always, I honor the memory of my mother, father, and brother. I celebrate the legacy they left behind, and I am grateful for the relationships they made in their lifetime. I am blessed to have been an older brother to Jay and a son to Israel and Dorcas and Mbisibwe. I look forward to joining them eternally, and until then, I am proud to walk in their path, to live how they lived, with strong love and faith in God.